Was? Three, is enough for an offer broker?
One, no.
Three.
Three. Gonna go love airing it. Gonna. Okay, I like to start with it anyway. The parasha starts off with Vayera Elov Hashem Beloine Mamre. Vayera Elov Hashem Beloine Mamre. Hashem appeared to him in Eloine Mamre. Vayera Elov. What's Elov? To him. No? Beloine Mamre. Vahu and he, Yoshe Pesach Oil Kachoim Hayoim. And he was sitting in the Pesach Oil Kachoim Hayoim. Very strange pasuk. What's strange about this pasuk? I've overlooked this for a while, but the Maisa. It's a very strange pasuk. What's strange about it, Josh?
Well, by year I love.
Yeah.
So, usually, it says to whom.
Exactly. Which is, a person just opens up a chumash over here, right? Unless he has a background, know who we're talking about, he had no idea what we're talking about. He had no idea of the chlap. So, but yet, so, like, Hashem appeared to him, and he say, "Vayera Elov Hashem, Vayera Elov, Vayera Hashem and Avraham Eloni Mamre, because who Pesach Oil, whatever it is, what's Hashem? For who again? Why isn't there mention of who it was over here? So I want to give a chiddush.
Oh, yeah.
On a chiddush. The chiddush is that every person. Every person has a certain middah that is a source of all his other middahs. I've talked about this in the past, but I want to stress it again. Every person has a certain middah that with his middah you can understand many, many, many different circumstances. He behaves in a particular way is because of that particular middah, although it translates itself in different opportunities. So my chiddush is that Avram Avinu, his kriach of doing everything he did was anova.
Anova?
Anova. Humility.
Yeah.
Whatever Avram Avinu was anova. Now, a person can say maybe Avram Avinu's middah was a strength that he stood up against the world, or maybe it was his power to teach. No. I think it was anova. It's anova. Vayera Elov Hashem Beloni Mamre. It's a Vayera Elov to Avraham. Avraham wasn't a person. Avraham Avinu didn't feel that he was something. Hashem appeared to him. Not because he received, because he was great, he's called Avraham. The whole world knew Avraham. Hashem did not come to Avraham Avinu because he was Avraham. Hashem came to Avraham Avinu because he was who? Because it was Elov, because Avraham was anonymous. Because Avraham did not feel in any way or any means that he did anything to deserve anything. So Hashem appeared to him because HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot stand the persons of Al Gaiva. Therefore when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avraham Avinu, it wasn't to Avraham. Avraham was a being of gadlus, of shorora, of wealth, of princelihood. Then the pasuk would not make sense. Hashem did not come to visit a prince. Hashem came to visit an Elov. Hashem came to visit an anonymity. That makes sense. Somebody who's anonymous, somebody who's not there. That's the Elov Hashem. Hashem appeared to him. For who you shape? It's not Avraham Avinu and he. That's who he was. Now, where do you see Avraham Avinu as another? And this is amazing, phenomenal. Look at Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Chav Zayin. Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Chav Zayin. Vayan Avraham Vayomer. Avraham answered him. He said to him, "Hinei noha alti ledaber el adonoi, v'anoichi ofor ve'efer. I am ofor ve'efer." Now, what is the v'anoichi ofor ve'efer? On that, the Gemara says that because anoichi ofor ve'efer, he was roi. He received two mitzvahs in the Torah. Ofor ve'efer. What's ofor ve'efer? Ofor, what's ofor? Ofor is
dirt.
Is soil, literally soil, and efer is ash. So because he said anoichi ofor ve'efer, he got the bracha, he got the schus of ofor is the offer of the poor Adumah. Sorry, offer. Sorry, he got the offer. He got the offer of the of Seita. Offer. He got the offer of Seita, of the mitzvah of Seita, and Eifer. He got the mitzvah of Paraduma. So offer was for Seita, and Eifer was mitzvah Paraduma. Klal Yisrael received the mitzvahs later on because he said Moshe offer the Eifer. Klal Yisrael, that's chus, got the mitzvahs of Seita and Paraduma. Now, what's the difference between saying Manoichi offer the Eifer? Is it just poetic? I am offer the Eifer.
What's the Eifer going to do with the Paradumah?
Because you use the Eifer, you burn it for Adumah, and you use the ash of Adumah. Yeah? So
what's
the Seita is you take soil. You take soil, yeah. you scratch out the letters of a cloth, of a written out piece of parchment which has writing on it, and you take a bit of dust from underneath you take a bit of soil from underneath the base of Mikdash in a certain place where they had like a hook where they picked up the sort of a tile and mixed up with the water and drank it. So therefore the offer is for offer of Seita and the Eifer is Eifer Paraduma. What's the connection? Also, what's the offer of the Eifer? Why say Nechi offer of the Eifer? I am offer, I am soil and I am ash. Why isn't one enough? So on this, the Balaam must say something very beautiful. He says, what's the concept of offer? Offer is dirt. Soil. Soil has very little strength in its past. It never was anything. Offer never was anything. It's never been something. Soil has never been something. Yet, it has a very strong potential. A potential that if you grow something in it, if you put inside an apple seed inside offer, an apple tree will grow. It's a catalyst. It's a very strong catalyst. That's offer. Eifer, on the other hand, is exactly the opposite. Eifer has a very nice past. Eifer is ash. You can burn a beautiful suit and it turns into ash. It's a very, very good past, but it's not a catalyst for anything. You can't use ash for anything. Maybe as a egg timer, right? But you can't use ash. Ash is not useful for its production in the future. And therefore, offer the Eifer exact opposites. Offer is saying, I have no past. Eifer is saying, I have no future. So Avraham Avinu, when he said, Anochi offer of the Eifer, he's saying, I am not anything that's come from anything, and I'm not anything that's going to anything. What schus did he get? He got the schus of, for offer, he got the offer, it was the offer of a Seita, and Eifer is the Eifer of Paraduma. Now what's offer for? Offer is a Seita, what's the idea of a Seita? Seita is the idea where a person takes a bit of this soil, mixes it up with a bit of cloth, with the writing from the cloth, puts it into the water, and that clarifies the past. It clarifies what happened. Did this woman do this or not? Did this woman have illicit relations or not? And therefore the offer, which is saying, I have no past, I haven't done anything, I've never done anything in my life, which means I'm saying that my past is not worthwhile, b'chlal, for that schus, you got the schus of paraduma, that the schus of Seita, that clarifies the past, that helps the past. That is offer. What's Eifer?
Something that has no past clarifies past.
Something that I say, I had no past. That's because you get a mitzvah that shows, no, you had a past. And I give you a mitzvah that actually creates a fixture to the past. It fixes what happens in the past, which means you're helping the past. I'm saying the past is nothing, I'm saying the past is something. Eifer, what's Eifer? Eifer is the idea of the Paraduma. What's a Paraduma? Forget about the past. You want to now become a person who's holy. You want to become a person who's Kodesh, who go and eat Trumas and Maestras, going to the base of Mikdash. You need an Eifer Para. And therefore, I'm saying, I'm not worth anything in the future. We get the Eifer Para that makes you Kodesh for the future.
No, it's
so to clarify the past. Its job is not to clarify the future, it's to clarify the past. No. There's a certain what it's doing, and then you get the the Totsa. The Pu'una is of Sota is the Pu'una is to clarify the past, and the Pu'una of Epapara is the Pu'una is to make you Torah for the future. Then you got Totsas. Everything has Totsas. Now, the question is now. This is brilliant. The question is now. How does a person become an Onuf? You know the famous joke they make. You know, this is a two litvaks are learning in a shul, and they're both working through a musa. So one's going, you know, ugh, I'm mamish and nothing. And one goes, you know, I'm also a mamish, I'm nothing. I'm nothing, I'm garnished. So the gabba of the shul, a sweet chassidus yid walks over and says, you're nothing, you know, I'm also nothing. He's also a nothing. Yeah, if a person comes such a balgaiva through coming becoming a nothing. How do you become a real nothing? How does a person become humble? I'll give you an example. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest onov ever. He didn't say Anochi Ofer Ve'efa, he said Vanachnu Ma, I'm nothing. Not even Ofer Ve'efa, I'm nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest onov ever. How did Moshe Rabbeinu become the greatest onov? I think we talked about this in the past. If he thought that he wasn't the greatest novi in the world, he'd begin being Apikoris. Because Moshe Rabbeinu had to believe he's the greatest novi, because the Torah said so. If Moshe Rabbeinu knew he was the greatest novi, if he wasn't, he'd been Apikoris. He certainly wasn't Apikoris. Therefore, he knew he was the greatest novi ever was and ever will be. How are you capable of being an onov in a situation where you've spoken to a Kaddish Baruch upon him, lived up in Shemayim for 40 days without food or water, and being the biggest onov in the world? How is that possible? The answer is Paraduma and Eifa Para. Paraduma and Eifa Seita. What's the day behind that? What's a Paraduma? A Paraduma is a beautiful, unique animal. Beautiful. It's bright red. It doesn't have any mum on it. It's never done a day's work in its life. It doesn't have any black hairs. Beautiful animal. Now, is it useful when it's alive?
No.
Absolutely useless.
When it's dead.
Because I can't even work with it. I can't do anything at all with this Paraduma. It's absolutely useless during its life. Only once I take it and I burn it and I grind it into ash, then it's worth something. That is the limit of Anova. So too by Seita. Seita, the earth itself is nothing. Once I take the earth itself with what it is and take a beautiful cloth, beautiful parchment with beautiful writing, and I scratch out the writing from the parchment into the offer of the paraduma of the Seita, then it becomes something. The idea is, how do you become great? You become a great honor by learning from a paraduma and learning from a Seita. The idea is that a person without working on themselves is nothing. A person has to realize that because the Kodesh Baruch gave me very, very great koichus, gave me very great levels of Kedusha, that doesn't mean that I am great. The fact that Kodesh Baruch created Moshe Rabbeinu as a superhuman being who's born great, that doesn't make Moshe Rabbeinu great. Only when you burn yourself, only when you work on yourself, you grind yourself, and you take who you are, this beautiful paraduma, and you grind it into ash. You take the offer Seita, and you grind, and you take it, you mix it, that's when I become something. Which means the fact that I'm very strong, or very got a very good voice, or that's irrelevant. That's nothing. I could have spoken gave that to you. All I am is what I've worked on, and therefore, unless I work on myself, and unless I work and I work and I work, I'm nothing. That is the idea of Ofer Ve'efer in relation to Dafka Paraduma and Dafka Tesoita. Right. The past and the future. You get schar for the past and the future, and you learn from Paraduma and Seita how useful they are. Unless, and how useless they are, unless you actually work on yourself, and that's the sign of humility. Yeah.
So natural genius, someone who's like talented in every area of life, mm-hmm. has much more work to do than the rest of us.
Of course he does. He has all the powers, he has all the tools to become even greater. A person just sits back and doesn't do anything, then he's wasting all his strengths. Every person has unique talents. A person. Again, the famous thing.
No,
this person has so much potential, he has to become the greatest person, the greatest intellectual in the generation. A person, again, Reb Zusha always used to say, when they come to Shemayim, they're not going to ask me, I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu, they're going to ask me, I'm not Zusha. I'm going to become the best Zusha I could be. That's the idea. You've got to take your potential and grind it and make yourself the greatest person. Unfortunately, you know, people look down when it comes to Gashmis, people look up. and the people have the bigger cars and the bigger houses say, oh, I have nothing. Yeah, and when it comes to Ruchnius, they say, listen, I'm better than that guy. Which means, you know, when it comes to Gashmius, they look up. I wish I had more. Comes to Ruchnius, I look down, I'm better than that guy. No, it's Mashi Baruch Amoda Gashem. Mashi Baruch. When it comes to Ruchnius, Mashi, you've got to go, you blow towards something. You got to look upward towards something. Umoyed Hageshem, when it comes to Gashem, you look down. Baruch Hashem, I'm better, I have more than that person. Baruch Hashem, I don't need what I had that person. Mashiv Ruch. Mashiv is to bring up the Ruchnius. When Ruchnius, look, you know, Mashiv Ruch, listen, I'm not as great as that person, I've got to strive. Mm-hmm. But Moyed Hageshem. That's an old one.
That's great.
That's great.
That'll be in
Volume 3.
Is that every single day 3 times
a
night?
That's
Mashiach Amoed
Hashem, yeah.
Isn't this now more than
and I thought we were just praying for rain.
No,
that's
kind of
weird.
Working yourself does not mean you make yourself into a nothing. Working yourself means grinding yourself down to a nothing.
It's ashes and
then No. Grinding yourself down to ashes means being knowing who you are, knowing your strengths, knowing your talents, and really working hard with them. That's what it means.
It's expanding the amount of
really working hard with them, taking what you have and squeezing out every drop of juice from it. That's what it means. Not just, you know, floating through life. I'm better than that person. I'm getting the average 90. That's fine. No, you've got to. Not misusing all your kochos and come out the greatest he could be. That's a kochos of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, let's see now. So Avram Avinu was off of the Efer, he had Anova. Now, how did that help him in his life? How do we see that Avram Avinu had Anova and how did it help him in the future? So it says, Avram Avinu, the classic of Avram Avinu was Chesed. It was Chesed. Avram Avinu brought Chesed. Now, Rabbi Yisai, you got to know that when you're dealing with human beings, if there's any gyver inside you whatsoever, you're going to burn out very quickly if you're dealing with a community. Mm. It's not shaykh. It's not possible to work for the community and expect kovod from it. You can't get kovod from it. You get people who think they're getting kovod. You know, there's a certain tzaddik, a very tremendous Talmud Chacham. He stands up on the steps on the Mir. He learns in the Mir. His name is Rav Cheshin. Rav Cheshin is from a family of Mukubalim. Very sharp guy. Sharp as steel. You know, he stands on the whole stairs the whole day just arguing with people. You know, they're asking kashas and he's shouting. He knows everything. He's brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant man. And you ask him anywhere in the Gemara and Rishonim, Achreidim, he'll answer you and he answers back. Shaf. He's got his one-liners. He said he once went into a chasna. My friend told me he was walked with him into a chasna, and there was a certain Rosh Hashiva there who said to one of his talmidim, tell the band that I'm coming in, that you can like compare yomin, you know, yomin, that you tell them I'm coming in, they can compare yomin. You can compare, there's a song, yomin, al yomin, they sing it from the chasna and the god will come in. So tell them I'm coming, that you can arrange it as I come in. So Cheshin said, there used to be a day time when the Bochrim ate yomim. What's yomim take? There used to be a time when the Bochrim were so poor, they used to eat one day by this family, one day by that family, one day another family.
What's take?
Take means days.
Yeah.
Sunday, but this family, they didn't have yeshiva, yeshiva couldn't afford, they used to eat take. So there used to be a time when the Bochrim ate yomim. Today the Rosh Hashivas eat yomim. Yeah? Not yomim, but yomim. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real anova. I'm talking about real anova. I'm not talking about people who pretend to be anova and they come in and mamash don't look. I'm talking about real anova. I'll give an example. Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rav Shach, his yahrzeit is, I think, today. Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he's moedig. There's a certain Rav who came in, a certain chosid who came into his house and started yelling at Rav Shach that he said something in one of his chedushim that his Rebbe said, and Rav Shach had no right to say it over in his name, in his own name, if he knew very well it came from his Rebbe. Now, why he should think that his Rebbe is the only one who could think of such a thing up, I don't know, but he was getting so worked up that he was shouting and cursing Rav Shach. Mamish, yelling and screaming at him. He's an older man already. So Rav Shach ran out of the room. People thought Nebuchadnezzar can't take anymore, maybe he's come to bring a stick with him, maybe. And he went into the kitchen and made a cup of tea. And he brought it back to this person, Nebuchadnezzar, getting so worked up. you know, you look like you need a hot drink. You have a hot drink, you know. Maybe, you know, you posit it. I'm worried that, you know, you're getting, you may feel you need a bit of klach. Here, have a nice hot drink, a bit of chocolate, you know. Feel. He meant it. Not, he wasn't trying to. He meant it. He wasn't doing Dale Carnegie on him. He meant it. He meant it. He meant it. That was a pshach.
It's like
when he's friend inferencing people that you that's the way you do it. That's not that wasn't Mashach. Mashach is real. Mashach is real. That's Chesed. That's Chesed. I told this story many times of Jackie Levison in London. Jackie Levison in London is there's a certain gavir in London called Jackie Levison. I'm sorry?
What's a gavir?
A wealthy man. And he lives in Sanford Hill, and all the Mashalachim stay there. All the down and out say the Mashalachim stay there. Tremendous, tremendous Baldstocker. He wants or sitting down in his dining room. He never sits on top of the table. He was sitting down in his dining room, and then Mashulach came out to him and said to him, by the way, how long can you stay here for? Said to Jackie. So Jackie said to him, I don't know, I've been here for years. Do you understand what that means? He's a balabos, and they had no clue that he's a balabos. That's hanava. You can only be a bal chesed if you have hanava. That's Avraham Avinu, that was hanava. Tremendous hanava. The Chofetz Chaim, somebody came through Radin. The person came through Radin. And he thought a hotel that would be able to stay in a hotel. And the hotel wasn't, there's nothing you couldn't stay in a hotel. So saw a room with a light on. So he knocked on the door. He saw an old man opened the door for him. He said, listen, I'm very sorry. I came to visit the Chofetz Chaim. Apparently, you know, I can't get into the hotel. Do you mind if I stay here? No problem. He made a bed for him. In the middle of the night, it was very cold. He saw that this old man took his coat, his jacket off, and laid it over the guest. And the whole night he's going like this to keep himself warm. Next morning he realized that was a Chofetz Chaim. Years later, Nebuchadnezzar's fellow went through the camps. Nebuchadnezzar went off the derech. He went through the camps. He said, but the memory of watching the Chofetz Chaim, the little light going like this the whole night when he put his thing over him to keep him warm, that kept him strong. That kept him strong. That's another. That's another. I've got my jacket. That's another. That another is a concept over here of how great a person can be only if you're honored. If you think that, you know, chutzpah, you come to my Chofetz Chaim, come to my middle of the night, I'm busy learning. What's going on here? That's another. Furthermore, carries on later.
How do you work on another about becoming Gavidik in your life?
Because become Gavidik with your another. It's impossible. It's impossible. You can't become a Bar Gaiva with another. If you're real another.
No, but when you work in Gemara, you think, oh, good, I'm doing much better now. So how do you do much better in another? But if I do much better, I become a Bar Gaiva. How do you recognize that you're progressing within?
The more you realize that you're nothing, the more you realize that you're nothing.
the more you realize you don't know.
The more you work on yourself, you're working, you know, you realize everything's from Kadosh Baruch Hu. The more you work on that, the more you realize that you're nothing.
The more you realize,
you know, I'll be very honest with you. I'll be very, very straight with you.
We're nothing.
I'll be very straight with you. There are certain times a Baal Tefillah, a bit of guy will go through his head. Yeah, a bit of guy will go through his head. Sometimes a bit of guy will go through his head. So what do you think to yourself? How do you stop that guy from happening? People after davening shkoyach, Mom, I should change my rashoni, Yom Kippur. I'm telling you, I come all the way from Yishlain to join you. So how do you deal with that? The deal with that is very simple. A bird can sing much nicer. So you'd be a bargai to be a bird. It's posh. Hashem gave you a matana. Hashem gave you a gift. Hashem gave you a gift. Hashem has put inside you a chip called a good voice. Use it for the right things. Now, how do you use it for the right things? I use it very simply to try and be more aware of people the best I can through being an olive. So being a balgaiva, you're not going to get anywhere. You know, they say a balgaiva, a fellow stands in the front there, a balfilla stands in the front there, and he thinks to himself, oi, I'm such an olive. They're so lucky to have me. They're so lucky to have me, you know? And then he starts getting more and more of a balgaiva. Oh, you know what? I don't really deserve to be here. I've been much, much better places. No. On the contrary, I'm not. It's backwards and forwards. And Davin's going. He can't. You know, Davin's going up and down because If you only heard what people are saying behind his back, the guy can't daven to save his life. And you know, what a terrible Bar Tefillah we have. He wouldn't be a Bar Gaiva in the first place. The idea of Bar Gaiva is very simple. If everyone knew two things. Number one, it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're nothing. You're Seichel. You're everything. You're Chayim. Everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem can take it away like that. Mm. Like that. Rahman al-Islam, you see people, you know, you get Superman. He has a riding accident. Yeah, and he's a cripple. Yeah, this big Superman who can fly through houses. He has a riding accident, and that's it. He's stuck in a wheelchair. Superman in a wheelchair. You've got to even make a cup of tea himself. That's a person. That easier person can become mamash a vegetable, number one. Number two, if everybody knew what you really were around you, would you get that much covered? If written on your face is every avera you've ever done, would you be receiving the same amount of covered?
And then maybe
if you toichah kabari. Are you a toichah? Very few people are toichah kabari. Inside is like outside. That's the idea of being an honor. Yeah. Let's move on. Now another can help you in another area as well. Another helps you as well with that. They had a very, very important, interesting debate over here with a Kodesh Baruch Hu and Sodom. Yeah? Sodom, you can't imagine a person who was more people who are more opposite in view to Avraham Avinu than Sodom. Avraham and Sodom were two exact opposites. Sodom was into they were murderers and known to Chesed Bechlal. Terrible, terrible people. Sodom is the only city in the world that ever been turned over, destroyed completely, just the city itself. Yeah? From the Torah, Mamish. And you get Avraham Avinu who is Amuda Chesed. And yet, when it comes to Sodom being destroyed, Avraham Avinu is davening there and davening there and davening there and putting his life into danger. Mamish worried that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to just go crazy with him. And Kodesh Baruch Hu in Emsechein Beinecho and this and that and that. Negotiations, he can't imagine, as if he's saving his own child. No, that's Sodom. How do you do that? Number one. Number two, we see later on, we have with Yishmael, we have a situation where the Pasuk says, Avraham Avinu sent Yishmael out with chemas mayim, with just a flask full of water. Asks the Mephoshim, why did Avraham Avinu not send him out with kesev and zav? But kesev and zav is his son, he's a wealthy man of this. Why didn't he send him out with kesev and zav? Why a little flask of water? Answer the Mephoshim, because Yishmael was bad. Yishmael was a rasha. And he knew he was going to go to Tarbus Ra. He knew he was going to go on a bad way. And therefore, Avraham Avinu did not want to give him the tools to help him along on his bad way. Therefore, Avraham Avinu only gave him a flask of water. So you see, Yishmael was very bad. Avraham Avinu hated him. He said, "Kishasoloi." So you hated him because he's going to go to Tarbus Ra. On the other hand, later on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, by the Arkadei, he says to him, "Take es bincha, es yichitcha asher ahavta. Es bincha, your son. Which one? I've got two sons. I've got Yisrael and Yishmael." Es bincha es yechidcha. You're yochid. Yechidcha, you're only one. So I don't have only one, I've got two. I've got Yishmael as well. Asher ahavta, that you love. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do you really think I love one more than the other? Es Yitzchok. Yitzchok, now I know who it is. And Avraham Avinu was not lying when he's trying to say who. Yishmael is not trying to get an easy way out. He said he loved both sons just as much. So it's a steer now. Did he love Yishmael? And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to actually say no, Yitzchok. Or did he hate him? That's why he sent him out for nothing. Did he hate him or did he love him? What's going on here? The answer is Avraham Avinu didn't do anything. Avraham Avinu wasn't somebody who hated or he loved. Avraham Avinu was a persona non grata. It was nobody who did things whatever had to be done at that time. Avraham Avinu at the time of sending out Yishmael had to hate him, but it wasn't him hating him. What had to be done then was an act of hating him. Avraham Avinu had to love Yishmael at the times when he's dealing with Al-Qaeda, because he loved him as a son. Which means if a person is, listen to this carefully, if a person is a person, i.e. he has personal tendencies, and he is something, he is a personality, then he can have a personal conflict, he can have conflicts within himself. But if he's not a person, and he just sort of reaches a stage where he just does what's right, and there's nobody else, there's no person there to have a conflict, and there's no conflict. Avraham Avinu, when it came to Sodom, of course Avraham Avinu was exact opposite. But there wasn't Avraham Avinu, there wasn't a person there called Avraham Avinu who hated Sodom. Sodom now has to be saved, because I've got a daven, that's what I have to do. I've got a daven to save people in danger. Are you going to say to me, that these people are Rishayim, fine, I'm going to hate them for their rishus, but I'm going to love them for who they are, for the people they are. Which means if you are a person, then the personal conflict gets in the way. If you're not a person just doing right from Hashem, then in one situation you're going to do this way, one situation you're going to do exactly the opposite, but it's not a steerer. Only if you're in the middle and you're making yourself a steerer, that's when it comes a steerer. You've got this gay march on Friday, hopefully it'll be bottle. They go gay march on Friday, these people are Rishayim. These people are mamish. The Torah says very rare. The Torah says it calls a person a te'eva, abominable. Yeah, and mamish a te'eva is taking, is twisting the whole natural process of the world. They're disgusting. The acts they do are absolutely disgusting. And where they want to do it, most provocative act in the streets of Yerushalayim Meir HaKodesh. Why even in Tel Aviv, in Yerushalayim Meir HaKodesh, posh it to show that it ain't din ve'ain dying. There's no Kodesh Baruch Hu, mamish, it's a provocative act clearly done for the sake of showing that there's no such thing as religion in the religious, in Judaism. In the most Jewish, holiest city in the world, we're going to march and show we're proud to do a big, to do a te'eva. It's mamish, it's absolutely horrific, it's disgusting. So what should we do about it? The answer is, we got to hate the act. We got to hate what they're doing with a Oyev Hashem. Oyev Hashem, Oyev Hashem, Sinura. Hashem hates, love the people who hate bad. You got to hate bad. Not be liberal and say, no, you got to hate it. But for them, these people themselves, if they're being in danger, you got to put your life in danger. You got to do everything you can to save their lives on Shabbos. If the Jews are going to save their lives on Shabbos. But Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, he had a Tzioni, he had a Zionist who was against Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld's every move. And everyone refused, he had a plague. Everyone refused to move him, to touch him, to come anywhere close to him, because his person was highly, highly infectious. Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld on Shabbos went, and he himself took his fellow to hospital and admitted him into hospital. Did he hate him? No! He hated his act. How do you manage, how do you make this pogginon, and how do you split something up? If you are something and I'm here in the middle, then I can't do two things. But if I am nothing, I have to do Ratzon Hashem, and Ratzon Hashem tells me to do it one thing one way, one thing somewhere else, then I can do it. It's not a steer.
How does one have a healthy relationship with themselves? Like, the passage is, and you've got to have an aspect of loving yourself to allow you to access the other relationships, but also see yourself as nothing as well. How do you do that?
Great question. So first, kamoicho. Just why kamoicho? You got to first create a being of who you are. There's a story that a fellow wanted to commit suicide, so he went and he killed his friend. Haftarecho kamoicho. But haftarecho kamoicho means that I first got to create somebody who I am first, and then love my friend for who they are.
Yeah.
If I am nothing and I feel I'm a piece of rubbish and I treat my friend like a piece of rubbish, I first got to create a being of who I am, mm-hmm. and then I can treat my friends with respect. If I don't respect myself, I'm nothing. Yeah. Another does not mean not respecting yourself. On the contrary, another means respecting who you are, realizing that you're extremely talented, you are highly, highly powered to the Ratzon Hashem, and therefore let's get down to work and let's get doing it.
Are you really nothing then?
I'm not nothing. I am nothing within who I am. I am nothing with what powers I have done. But I myself am a Tzelem Elokim. I'm a Jew. I'm a bechor of the whole world. Hakadosh Baruch Hu loves me like anything, like a Ben Yochid. Who said the I think it was the Kotzke used to say. On one hand, in one pocket you got to have Bishvili Nevar Olam, and the other pocket you got to have Anoche Ofer Ve'efer. You got to take out each one whenever you need it. But you're fantastic, you're great, you have tremendous potential, you're unbelievable, you can change the world, single-handedly you can change the world. Mshach said to Reb Noach at his son's made one of his bris, 1976 or 77 in Eishet Torah, if one man can kill 6 million Jews, one man can save 6 million Jews. You gotta know we can change the whole world. But I made myself I'm very big? No! Because I've given such tools and I'm fantastically powerful, I've got to use them. And until I use them to its maximum potential, which is never, I can't make myself I can't feel pride, I can feel happy, I can't feel proud.
The difference between
self-esteem
and
yeah, that's right.
And then
that comes to
the
yeah, exactly.
Is the
stand up for him.
Yeah, standing
a threat. You see, I am nothing. That's to eliminate the. That's Dafka there to eliminate the Gulliver. To say I am nothing is so there so that you won't think yourself, how great am I? How much time do I have?
Exactly. There's so much more to say here. I just want to say two more things, very briefly.
Nothing. It's only your share.
I am by no means trying to bring up a point here, one way or another. I just posit it's something which is a hashkofa of the yeshiva, and therefore it's a hashkofa which I believe very, very strongly comes in this week's parasha. We have a conflict between Avram and Sarah. Avram and Sarah have a boy at home who needs help. He's Shmuel. This kid is a troubled kid. He needs help. And he is now in a relationship with Yitzchok, who is a Baruch Hashem going in the right derech. The question now is, what do we do with this troubled kid? Do we fling him out on the streets? And whatever happens to him, happens to him? And Nebuch, you know, what can happen to him is terrible things. Or do we keep him together with Yitzchok? Do we shower him with love and being in a relationship with Yitzchok where he can learn from Yitzchok? Yitzchok can learn from him, but he can learn from Yitzchok, and that way there's kiruv, and that way we'll keep him, you know, a little bit on the derech. What do we do? Big machlekas, Avram and Sarah. Avram says, listen, it's kiruv. Kiruv is everything. You've got to bring in as many people as you can. My own son. Can't send it, throw him out. Sarah says, no. You're wrong. Avram Avinu, you're wrong. And I'm right. I'd never argued with you before, but I'm arguing with you with this. It comes to a certain stage where you just, there's nothing you can do. You've got to fling him out on the streets. Who was right?
Sarah
was right. I've heard often the phrase, there's a fire burning out there. Right? There's a holocaust out there. If you know A and B, teach A and B. Yeah? There's no time to become a Talmud Chacham before you go out and do Kiruv. That's correct to a certain level. The story of the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim came to a town. Do you know the famous story? He came to a town and he told. No, sorry, there was a. In a Gudda convention in 1912 or something, the Chofetz Chaim said, everyone's got to do Kiruv. So later on, the Rabbanim came along and said, no, that means Talmud Chachamim. So he said, no, I mean everybody. And he brought the Maisa, the Moshel of the fire in town, where there was a fire in town and everyone. And then there was a fellow came in town, the water was terrible. He said, the water's so terrible, you've got to filter the water. Fine, and started filtering the water. Next time it came a few years later, and the whole city was on fire. What's going on here? Everyone's filtering the water. He said, you idiots. When there's a fire, you use unfiltered water too. Yeah? But we don't add fuel onto the fire. If it's not water, and you've got no other liquid, you don't use fuel. You don't use fuel. A person obviously has got to do whatever they can to stop what's happening in the world. To stop it, terrible things happening. We get so blinded by a few Bali Tshuva, what's happening into marriages is someplace 70-80%. It's worse than Hitler. Terrible, terrible things. But on the other hand, to learn Aleph and to go and teach Aleph, what's going to happen is you're going to forget Aleph, you're going to forget even more than that. A person can be so badly influenced by the outside world that you can lose everything you have. Unless you're a Kli that is so Molev Egal, is so full of Torah, that you're so full of, you know exactly where you're going, you have Hashkofa straight, only then you can go out and be productive in the world. Only then you can go out and make a difference. There's a famous story that Chofetz Chaim with the Balan. Balan is the fellow from the mikveh in Radin. It's freezing cold mikveh in Radin. And so he took hot water, and his job to put hot water into the mikveh. Poured the hot water into the mikveh, and it was still lukewarm. So Chofetz Chaim said to him, why is it cold? He said to him, I poured hot water in. He said, let me fill the water. He said, a little bit of water left that was lukewarm. He said, if you put boiling hot water into cold water, that warms up the water. If you put lukewarm water into water, the water stays exactly the same. In order to go out, you've got to be strong, because otherwise the Yishmael is going to destroy the Yitzchok. Of course the Yitzchok will influence the Yishmael, but that's Avraham Avinu, that's wrong. It doesn't help unless the Yitzchok is going to be strong enough. The Yishmael doesn't influence him to a way that he's going to be destroyed. It's awesome to have any contact with such people. And if before a person knows how strong they are, to go do this as a profession, not talking about as a once-off speaking to, do this as a profession, to come out and to be a person who is, you know, a cure professional, Yeah, just because he's taken a quick Rabbi Mani course, and he's done the principle and done the series of ABCs in Judaism. That's not going to make him effective. What's going to make him effective is a proper Ben Torah, a guy who appreciates Rishonim, appreciates Mesorah, appreciates every word of Torah as Kodesh Kodoshim, and appreciates the Rishonim and Achronim, understands the beauty of Torah, and mamash totally absorbed. That's going to make him effective. Just one last thing. The Akedah. The Akedah, I wrote this in Sips from the Well, and I think it's a Moyodi Gavot, and I think it's something which is very, very important to realize. The Akedah is constantly talked about, the Akedah Yitzchak, but who got the credit for it? Whose test was it? Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu got the test for this. It's Avram Avinu's test. Velekim Nisa es Avraham Leima. Kodesh Baruch Hu tested Avram Avinu. Now, why is it called Avraham Avinu's test? Avraham Avinu was a man of over 100, 130 something, right? Yeah, 136. An old man. He's taking his son, who's 36 years old, 37 years old, yeah, 37 years old, and binding him up, and Yitzchok's allowing him to bind him up, and Yitzchok has his beautiful, beautiful, sharp, razor sharp shechita knife right next to his neck. And he sees within seconds his life's over. How can it be called Avraham Avinu's test? What about Yitzchok? Avraham Avinu's going to walk away from this. Yitzchok's going to be killed. Why is it called Avraham Avinu's test? Why not Yitzchok's test? The terrace is like this.
Well, they said the Yitzchok was never the same after the kid,
right? He got a new neshama.
Alright.
So,
Api Musa, not Api.
Pasha's still there.
Api Musa, No, but why is it the Torah people talking about Avraham Avinu? Yitzchok, nothing happened to Yitzchok. Akadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu later on, now I've seen a great person, Ati Yadati, da 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 da, and therefore I'm going to give you and you and you. What about Yitzchok? The Torah is at this. The summer of, after the war, people came to him and said to him, listen, the Gedolim have been killed. Who do we go to today for brachas? Who do we go today for brachas? Summer of said to him, anybody today who wears tefillin over a tattoo, over a
tattoos,
over a number, numbers over here, that person is somebody's roi to give you a bracha. That person is somebody's roi to give you a bracha. My vote is anybody today who wears tefillin over tattoo, that person is roi to give you a bracha. It's a story of a fellow. A fellow went to mikvah. I'll tell you what I mean by that. A fellow went to mikvah. You know, I heard the story of Chaim Kaufman told me this story. It's Chorin of Rachel. A fellow went to mikvah, and it's the first time he's been to mikvah, and he had a very big tattoo right down his back. He's very afraid. You know, what people are going to say? People think I'm through. What people are going to say? So there's a man there, an older man, a wise man, and he saw his hesitation. He saw what was going on. So he said, Rabbi Yid, he said, look, I've got a tattoo as well. You see, I've got a tattoo, you've got a tattoo. We've both been through Gehenna together. Let's go down to the mikvah and purify ourselves. So what, why am I saying this? The idea is that the terrace is like this. What's the Sattva Rav saying? Sattva Rav is saying that for Avraham Avinu to do the action of killing was great. Fantastic. How long did it take him though? How long did it take him? It took him 1 second, but how long will he suffer by it? How long will he suffer not having Yitzchok by his dinner table? How long will he, every night, to be wake up in cold sweat, remembering the terrible, terrible things of killing, of blood spurting out of Yitzchok's neck? Unbelievable. Avraham Avinu would have to live with it. Yitzchok, once the sin is over, it's over. Fine, where does he go to now? Doesn't die there like a dog, chas v'shalom. He goes to Shammai and he gets Olam Haba, he gets closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Unbelievable. So Avraham Avinu's Nisayon was much harder than Nisayon. His Nisayon is going to last all the way to the day of his death. It's much, much easier to have a Nisayon that's a short sprint than a marathon. They're going to go carry on and on and on and on. That's why it's called Avraham Avinu's Nisayon and Yitzchok's Nisayon. Of course there's a Nisayon for Yitzchok. But a Nisayon that's a marathon, that's ongoing, that's tough, that's a Nisayon. So I wrote there that a person, there are many, many times in Jewish history where people were killed by the sword for their beliefs, for the beliefs or by the fire, you know, they were killed by the stake. But okay, how long did it take them to be killed? 10 seconds, 10 minutes, half an hour, how long did it take them to be killed? But that's it, they're not in my bar now. A person who has fin over to two, a person who on a regular basis has nisyanus, every day of his life it's difficult for him. And every day he's not sure that he's in the right place and what he's doing here, and he doesn't fit in exactly to everybody else, and he carries on and he carries on and he carries on. He's much, much greater than the people who are moist nefesh and who died by the stake. Goodbye, died by the stake. Takes 10 minutes, half an hour, 2 hours. A person who lives a Kiddush Hashem is much greater than the person who dies a Kiddush Hashem. And that's why Avram Avinu is called the son of Avram Avinu, not the son of Yitzchok. Because Yitzchok could have died, finished this all over. But a person on a regular basis who's Kovish is Yetzer, who fights against Yetzer Hora, and he grows, these people are Kodesh Shem Shemayim. And that's Mishat in this week's Pasuk. The Pasuk says, by the way, I'm carrying on because I've got overtime because we started late. If we were here on time, we'd have finished by now. The Pasuk says...
It's your share that you're going into.
The Pasuk says...
It's our learning.
Okay, we'll stop it.
No, go.
We'll stop it. We'll stop it.
You can look it up online.